Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. We are called to be salt and light. But let's be honest, light always gets the spotlight, right? This little light of mine. Weren't you singing that in your head when you heard about the bushel basket under in the gospel? And so today, let's focus on salt. One of the biggest treats that I could get as a child, in fact, my mother often used this to bribe me, was my own jar of kosher mini dill pickles. Anybody else a fan of these? Yeah. I loved crunching my way through the pickles themselves, and then I relished drinking the juice, often borrowing one of my mom's sherry glasses so that I could drink it and pretend to be very fancy. I guess you could say I've always been more of a salt tooth than a sweet tooth. This, along with my love of cooking, is why I loved last year's Netflix documentary, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and the amazing cookbook that it was based on by Chef Samin Nosrat. In both, Samin explores what salt really is and how we are to use it. And there's a lot more to salt than I thought. Salt is one of several dozen essential nutrients without which we cannot survive. The human body can't store salt, and so we have to consume it regularly in order to be able to carry out just basic biological processes, such as maintaining proper blood pressure and water distribution in the body, delivering nutrients to and from cells, nerve transition, and muscle movement. Does that sound right? The nurse approves. I got that right. In fact, we are hardwired to crave salt in order to ensure that we get enough of it. Perhaps this is why it has been so important for so much of human history. The legendary Greek author Homer called salt a divine substance. The philosopher Plato described it as sacred. To the ancient Hebrews, it was the mark of an eternal covenant between God and humanity. The ancient Egyptians were known to salt their sacrifices and offerings, and the Aztecs even had a goddess of salt. It may have been used in some ancient Christian baptismal rites as well, placing the sacramental salt of wisdom on the tongues of the newly baptized. Sumo wrestlers toss salt into the ring before a match to purify it, hearkening to an ancient religious ritual. In a few cultures, salt can protect against the evil eye or misfortune, and in others, spilling salt is considered bad luck or a bad omen. Who still picks up a pinch and throws it over their shoulder? Yep, I see you folks. And we see that too in it's seen as this bad omen. If you look in Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper, you'll see that Judas has spilled the salt. Almost across almost all cultures and religions, salt is holy, sacred stuff. But its importance isn't just spiritual. As I shared earlier, it's physically important too. Our bodies need salt, somewhere between 2/3 of a pound to more than 16 pounds a year in order to survive, depending on our level of activity. We can't produce it on our own. Without it, we die. Before refrigeration, salt enabled us to preserve food that would otherwise spoil. It had medicinal properties, both as an antiseptic and an antifungal. And today, salts are used in everything from industrial pharmaceuticals to treat diseases to simple saltwater gargles to treat that sore throat at home. Or who likes the neti pot? Oh, the saline rinse? Yeah, but it helps. But salt isn't just spiritually and physically important. It's also been important in how civilizations have functioned. In the ancient world, salt was a form of wealth. Ancient Roman soldiers were paid in salt, which is where we get the word salary. And why a bad employee isn't worth their salt. And as with anything worth of value, wars have been fought over it. From the salt war between the city of Perugia and the Papal States in 1540 over a salt tax, to the San Elizario Salt War of 1877 in Texas. Blockading goods, particularly salt, was also a way that you could cripple your enemies during war. The scarcity of salt was so critical during the Revolutionary War here in the United States that the Continental Congress formed a committee in 1777 to devise ways of producing salt here in the United States. By taxing or monopolizing it, the ancient Roman Empire and Chinese empires were built. Their wars were financed, they colonized other lands, and indigenous people were conquered. But for as much bloodshed as salt has caused, because it was common to all and an early staple of trade and commerce, it also united disparate cultures. The most well-known of ancient road systems from the Romans had at least some of its roots in the transportation of salt. The Via Salaria, or salt road, still exists in Italy. It's now a modern highway and has followed the same route for thousands of years. Salt is in the lifeblood of all humans, and it is woven throughout the fabric of human history, which is why Jesus first tells his followers, "You are salt of the earth," warning them not to lose their saltiness, before he mentioned light. Of course, light was also important. Remember, light in those days meant fire, which is also essential to human civilization. But in starting with salt, he was drawing on his followers' deep and intimate knowledge of salt as something fundamental to daily living, which is frankly something we are pretty disconnected from. Salt is something that we don't really have to think about a lot unless our doctor tells us to consume less of it. It's found in nearly everything these days. For us, salt is abundant. It's everywhere we look and easily accessible, from shakers found on kitchen tables to packets at fast food restaurants to entire shelves of it at the grocery store. It's just there for us in a way that it wasn't in Jesus's day. And so we need to hear Jesus's word with first century ears. When Jesus told those around him to be salt, he wasn't telling his followers to just be there or to just be abundant. Those are two takeaways that we can get if we listen with modern ears. No, he was comparing them and us to a substance that is holy and sacred, that is fundamental to life, and that is also profoundly communal. When Jesus talked about salt losing its taste, it was a bit of a misnomer, because for all that salt can do, it's very difficult for it to lose its flavor. Even if you dilute it in water to the point where you can no longer really taste it, it's still there. And once the water evaporates, the salt will be left behind and its flavor will be intact. In fact, the only way for salt to really lose its flavor is to eat it by itself. Have you ever tried to eat a handful of salt? Don't. While salt deepens and enhances other flavors, it becomes bitter and poisonous in isolation. This substance that can heal and bring life, in fact, becomes deadly when consumed by itself. Just 4 tablespoons of straight salt eaten at once can kill an adult. Salt must be paired with other things, not used in isolation. Salt is ultimately communal. And so too is Jesus' call to us and how it is that we are to live a life of faith. One of the first things that Jesus did in all the Gospels after being baptized was to call the disciples to form that first community. Again and again throughout his ministry, he pulled people from the margins and restored them into community through healing and through leading by example. And on his last night with his friends, he showed them and us how to continue to live together in Christian community with him present through sharing the bread and the wine, with the promise that wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be with you. For salt to lose its saltiness, it has to exist in utter isolation, and the same is true for people of faith. You cannot be a Christian in isolation. We are called into community first, and then are sent out as individuals to salt the world with God's love and compassion and justice and reconciliation. Our faith is not meant to merely be purely personal or comfortable, like a pair of slippers worn in our own homes. Jesus proclaimed that faith must be active and out in the world, where its flavor enhances everything it encounters. This is why we come to church, why we join communities of faith, when frankly it can feel like being here is just one more thing that demands our time and energy, when it feels like we don't have enough of it to begin with. We come to be gathered together here with others, and then to be transformed through worship and learning and action and community, so that when we live our lives, we are living them as salt and light in the world, so that we are a part of creating a better world. As the great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the church is only the church when it exists for others. So how is it that we are salt and exist for others here at St. James? In too many ways to count, through our thrift shop and our nursery school and all of our ministries. We are also periodically invited to serve and support those in need in more direct ways. The Episcopal Diocese of Maryland has designated today as the Sunday of Support for Puerto Rico. This is a response to the ongoing and devastating earthquakes in our companion diocese, and our bishop has asked us to all give as we are able to support the Episcopal Diocese of Puerto Rico and their hospital and their social service ministries and their orphanage and their overall response to the earthquakes. You can look on the last page of your bulletin or for the email that we sent out this last week for more information. And I hope that you will join me in donating generously. Lent is just around the corner. Our own outreach committee and Sunday school will be inviting us to support those in need locally and globally through the reverse Advent calendar to collect items for Mount Airy Net, and with mite boxes to support the work of A is for Africa. But it's not just special programs that we are called into or that even have the largest impact in the end. It is our everyday choices to be kind or to be cruel, to show compassion or contempt, to sow generosity or scarcity, that have the power to bring life or death. When we choose to act for the common good, we are the salt of the earth. And when we act selfishly based in our own self-interest, it's like 4 tablespoons of salt hoarded and consumed by itself. It leads to death. And so my prayer for all of us is that we will choose to be the salt that Jesus calls us to be, in ways big and small, every day. For then we will be fully flavored salt. That is true salt of the earth. Amen.